that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation.
On the day of Pentecost, Peter told some people that they were guilty of sin. By the time he reached the period that we call Acts 2:38, he said, Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom ye crucified. Peter, in talking to some people, said that they were in a wrong relationship with God, and to right that relationship, Peter said in verse 38, because they believed, they needed to repent and be baptized. When preachers today within the church reach the point that's described in Acts 2:38, it's generally the case that they are about done. Bibles are quite often closed, and people put away their notebooks, and they're thinking about the invitation song, and it's time to go home. But as you look at Acts 2, you find that on this occasion, the preaching was not done. A few moments ago, we heard Kent read from Acts 2, especially verse 40, and Luke noted that Peter used many other words to exhort the people. In other words, after he offered the invitation, if you will, he told them what they needed to do. He spoke for an extended period of time beyond that. This evening, I want to examine with you the word that is translated exhort, concentrating solely on Acts 2:40. This is a verb that is used 109 times in the New Testament. This has the same root as the word translated comforter, and it's the basic word that is sometimes applied to the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, this word that is translated exhort is used in three different ways. And this evening I want to point out the three different ways that this word is used and hopefully find some points of application in these three different meanings. In some places, the word exhort is used to mean summon, or invite, ask, implore. That's the first meaning of the word. And I'll come back to these and give them again. In other places, it means exhort. And the third meaning would be comfort. Tonight, as I said, I want to explore these three meanings for the word and see if we can develop some points of application. The first definition is, once again, if you missed it, to summon or invite, ask, and implore. And I'm going to be giving some references, not reading many of them. So if you're jotting them down, that's probably the easiest way to get them. In Acts 28, verse 20, the Bible says that Paul asked to see some Jewish leaders. He summoned, he called, he asked these leaders to come see him. A similar usage is found in Acts 28, verse 14. There were some Christians who invited other Christians to join with them. This word is quite often used in the Gospels in the sense of invite or summon in Matthew 8, 5. There was a centurion who beseeched Jesus to perform a miracle. The word that's translated beseeched is from the same word that's used in Acts 2:40. He came and he exhorted Jesus. The word exhort, as we look at this first definition for it, was often associated with people who were needy. There were people in life who had someone who was sick, someone who was a family member, someone who was a friend, and they wanted that friend to be cured by the Lord or someone else, so they came and they exhorted, they invited, they implored, they asked Jesus or the apostles to come and render aid. This word is also used in other parts of the New Testament under this first heading, that is to ask, to invite, to summon. One reference that will be familiar to us is Matthew 26, verse 53. You may remember that Jesus said, I can call upon my Father, and if I did that, he would send more than 12 legions of angels. When the Lord made that statement, he used the same word that's translated exhort in Acts 2, verse 20. Jesus said, I can exhort the Father, I can summon, I can call upon him, and he will send angelic help. Some of us will remember a statement from Acts 16:9. In Acts 16:9, this word is found again. In this passage, the Bible says that Paul had a vision. There was a man in Macedonia who said, at least in what Paul saw, come, help us. And it's that same word that's translated exhort in Acts 2, verse 40. Paul was exhorted, he was begged, he was implored to come and assist the people who were in Macedonia. When we look at this first definition for the word, we find a point or two of application. In the past, as we look at this word, we find that there have been people who have come to Christians, God's people, and they have asked for help. Christians and even the Lord have been exhorted to help others. We live in a time when that same kind of thing still occurs. Some turn to God's people and they implore the people of God for some kind of assistance. When people beg Paul in Acts 16:9, we want to hear the gospel. We want to hear the good news. We need some help. Will you come? The Bible shows that Paul responded to that call. He helped. When the centurion came to Jesus and exhorted that the Lord help him, Matthew 8, verse 5, the Lord aided him. Today, as Christians, we sometimes have people come to us and they beg for help. They plead for assistance. When people exhort us for aid, how do we respond? That's a question that this word causes us to ask, and we know how we would answer that question. Well, the word translated exhort was used in a second way. It was used to describe exhortation. Paul used this word at different times to say that Christians need to exhort, to build up, to strengthen one another. In Acts 15, verse 32, the Bible says that prophets exhorted, they strengthened, they built up other Christians. The Philippians in Philippians 2, verse 1 were told about exhortation. In other words, it seems like this was something that was associated with people as they met in a congregational setting. Timothy, he was a young preacher. But the Bible also shows, and I'm going to read this passage, 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 2, that as a preacher, he was supposed to exhort the church. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, here's what he said, "And sent Timothy, our brother, and God's minister in the gospel, to establish you and to comfort or to exhort you concerning your faith." Paul knew that it was important for the Thessalonians to be built up, to be helped. And he said, "I've sent a preacher, this young man named Timothy, to help accomplish that." As we think about exhortation, perhaps the kind that's done by elders, preachers, other Christians, we know that it comes in different forms. Sometimes there are things that face Christians that are dangerous. And just as we would exhort our children to avoid certain things, that's an obligation that preachers and elders, Bible class teachers, have a duty to exhort people to stay away from things that are wrong. In other cases, there are things that are right. And sometimes people do not involve themselves as much as they should in those things. And people need to be exhorted to do what the Bible teaches. Those who are doing well at times need to be exhorted to keep going. That's part of exhortation. The people who are not doing well, the people who have become discouraged, the people who are thinking about quitting, the people who have become, perhaps because of circumstances, weak in the faith, they need to be exhorted as well. Exhortation covers a lot of areas. It can be positive or it can be negative. There can be people who are prospering or not doing well, but all need to be exhorted. This definition for exhort has some direct bearing on the subject of salvation. Because this secondary use of the word is how the term is used in Acts 2, verse 40. Peter used many other words to exhort the people. There are times in life when people need to be convinced of something. It may be a religious matter, it may be a secular matter. But there are people who need to be persuaded, perhaps because they have some doubts. People may completely disbelieve what they're being told, so they need to be persuaded, exhorted. They need to be encouraged to perhaps look at some additional evidence. It's also possible to be completely confused about something. So exhortation means that we try to sit down with people and encourage them to come to the conclusion that what you know they're struggling with, that can be understood, they can know the truth, and they can do what's right. There are times when we as Christians need to step forward and help people. That's what we find in Acts 2:40 on the day of Pentecost. This man, Peter, knew beyond any doubt that Jesus was no longer in the grave. He had absolute proof that Christ had been raised from the dead. He realized that the only kind of religion pleasing to God is Christianity. When Peter had an opportunity to tell people about the truth, about the right way, he presented the facts. People finally asked what they needed to do, and Peter told them. But the apostle did not stop with the information about salvation. After he presented what people needed to do to become a Christian, Acts 2:38, the Bible says he exhorted them with many other words. In this context, it means that Peter came to people. He was a man who was sincere. He knew that he had the truth. And on this day, he was someone who begged, he pleaded, he implored, he pleaded, he exhorted people to do what was right because he knew that their souls were hanging in the balance. Here was a man who seems to have put all that he had into convincing these people that they needed the gospel of Christ. At times we talk about the importance of following the examples in Scripture. That's right. We need to do that. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, we have a Bible example. When an apostle met with people who were unsaved, He did his best to passionately plead with them to become children of God. People were urged to save their souls on this day, and this is the right approach as we both deal with our life and we try to interact with others who have souls that are going to spend somewhere in eternity. If we knew that our house was on fire or the house of someone else was on fire, we wouldn't waste a moment of time. We would immediately pick up the telephone and make some kind of a call so the fire department was contacted. If we heard that someone was breaking into our house, if a window shattered, we would not hesitate to call 911. There are some situations in life which must be designated as urgent. And this is what we find in Acts 2:40 on the day of Pentecost. Peter didn't ask these people to come back to a service on the following day. He didn't say, let's get together again in a week. But the Bible says he presented the terms for salvation and then with many other words, this man exhorted people to become Christians. He begged the people to do what was right. He knew the truth and he implored them to obey it. We should be able to understand how people who are not saved need to be exhorted. They need to be encouraged. They need to be begged, if you will, to do what's right, because the time is coming when they're going to leave this life, and if they're not prepared, they're going to die in sin. We also find that as we look at this word that's translated exhort, that it has application to people who are in the church as well. Some who have become Christians have become children of God because someone sat down with them and they studied with them. They implored them to look at the condition of their soul. They begged them to look at the evidence that exists for God and the Bible. And there were some who became Christians. Some perhaps in this room. But the Bible says after we become a Christian, exhortation does not stop there. In Acts 14, verse 22, the Bible says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them, that is the disciples, the Christians, to continue in the faith. So after a person has been exhorted to become a Christian, the Bible example is that God's people are continually exhorted to stay faithful to God. If we are a Christian, one of the most important works that we will ever do in our Christian life is exhortation. There are going to be some times in our life when we perhaps plead with someone to do what's right. That's what Peter did in Acts 2, verse 40. And some of us have been in a situation where we have done that. Perhaps it was a family member, perhaps it was someone else who was at the point of death, but I have been in places and in certain situations where people were pleaded with to do what was right because their soul was literally hanging in the balance. In other situations, exhortation is a lot less complicated. We can exhort people by praying for them. We can exhort people by calling them on the telephone or visiting them. We have people stand around after services. That's not just passing time, folks. That's exhortation. We sometimes have people who go out and have a meal together. What happens during those periods? Exhortation. Sherman has done an excellent job with our visitation program, but the work that he's done and the work that so many who are here tonight have done as well, that's not just visitation. That's a means of exhortation. And that's the way that that program needs to be viewed. I said that exhortation comes in different forms, and this is true. One form is encouraging people who are Christians. This is a valuable work that every Christian should be involved in. The word exhortation has been looked at from two different standpoints, so we're now ready to look at it from the third vantage point that we find it being used in Scripture. And this sense of the word describes comfort. Jesus promised, Matthew 5:4, you remember the verse, he promised that those who mourn would be comforted. The word that's translated comforted in Matthew 5:4 is the same word that's translated exhorted in Acts 2, verse 40. The people who mourn are exhorted, they're built up, because they are made to feel good. In Romans 15:4, we've used that passage several times over the years. Paul said, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And that is the same word. The Bible says that these Scriptures are to exhort us. They're to comfort us. They are to soothe us and to console people. The word exhort is used in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 17. Paul said that God's people have eternal comfort, exhortation, both through Christ and the Father. But I want to share for you what I consider out of all three of the meanings for exhortation, out of all 109 times this word is used in the New Testament, what I find to be the most fascinating. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. I know a number of other verses have not been read, but the references have been given, so you can look at those at a later time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said to the Corinthians that he'd been defamed. The word translated defamed was a rare word. It's only found here in the New Testament. It was a word that meant people said bad things about Paul. They slandered him. They defamed him. People said terrible things about Paul. And yet, in spite of what they said, here's Paul how he responded. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things, even until now. The word that's translated exhort in Acts 2:40 is found at the first part of the verse. Being defamed, Paul said, we entreat. And here is the idea of comfort. In this passage, Paul says, people have slandered us. People have spoken evil about us. People have said horrible things. And yet, in spite of all that they have done to try to damage us, Paul said, we entreat. We try to comfort those very people who have attacked us. If we want a snapshot of the Christian life, it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. God's people try to exhort others no matter how they respond. The word exhort is a great New Testament word. And in the New Testament, we find that it has three basic meanings. In some places, it means to summon, to invite, to ask, to implore. There are places like Acts 2:40 where it means to exhort, to encourage, to the point where people beg and plead. And then there is the third usage, which means to comfort. If we're a Christian, do we exhort people? If we would say yes to that question, what kind of exhortation do we do? Do we invite people and ask others about spiritual things? That's a form, that's a type of exhortation. Do we exhort people in the sense that we encourage others, sometimes begging and pleading them to do what's right? That's a second type of exhortation. And the third type, even when people are malicious, is the kind of exhortation which says we still want to offer comfort to God's people. These are questions that we as Christians can ask ourselves. We can also ask in an assembly such as this, is there anyone who, like on the day of Pentecost, needs to be exhorted? Peter used many other words, and tonight we're not going to take that particular approach, but we do want to, just as Peter did on this day, to beg with you, to plead with you, that if you're not a child of God, if you've not become a Christian, a time is coming when you're going to die. If you're not in a right relationship with Christ, the Bible says that there are only two places where accountable people can go. People are saved or they're lost. And if you're not in a right relationship with God, the Bible says you're going to be lost. As you have at least one more opportunity to obey God, this evening we exhort you in the name by the authority of Christ to do what's right, to become a Christian. If there's any way that we can help you become a child of God or strengthen you as a Christian, to exhort you, that's something that we want to do. We will do that privately if that's something that you would like to do, or if you feel that you've reached the point, thinking about the people on the day of Pentecost, where you want to act on what's been said, you want to become a Christian tonight. We exhort you with the song that we're about to sing to become a child of God. If you believe in the Lord just like the people on the day of Pentecost, you want to live in the right way, and this evening you'll confess Christ as Lord, you can obey the final command in Acts 2:38. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. Is the exhortation applicable to you? That's the question that we ask. If you're ready to respond to it, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.